This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive & June. Olive & June gives you everything that you need for a salon-quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive & June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive & June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number Smart Beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. J.D. Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number Limited Edition smart bed for a limited time. For J.D. Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
All because of you I am, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Football Ramble. In the FA Cup fourth round, AFC Wimbledon and Mill will provide the shocks. Tony Pulis has to go home and Solskjaer wins again. Come on in, ladies and gentlemen. We've got a lot of chat for you because I'm here with Jim, Pete and Luke.
The water is warm.
Sorry?
The water is warm, so come on in.
I mean, it usually is if it comes out of that.
Is this the first time we've let them know that we record in a bath?
Yeah, I think it might be.
I've always thought everyone assumed.
Yeah.
It plays havoc with the electrics.
Yeah.
So careful. Be very, very careful.
Splish, splash.
If one person's getting electrocuted in here, it's almost certainly going to be Jim Campbell.
Mm. Three bar heater, Campbell.
We'll be okay.
The magic of the FA Cup has never left the competition, and it proved to be on the weekend. A lot of people say when people, you know, when AFC Wimbledon beat West Ham and so on, they say, you know, people say the magic of the cup is dead. Nobody says that.
No, but every time you say that, you kick it in the face,
yes,
don't you?
Yes, exactly. Yeah, there is an awful lot of magic in the cup. And AFC Wimbledon were sprinkled with the magic dust. They beat West Ham 4-2. They march into the fifth round for the first time in their short history. What a win to see them 3-0 up against the Premier League. You can understand why old Pellers was pissed off.
Oh, big time. And because AFC Wimbledon were very, very, I want to say dominant in the first half, obviously went into the break 2-0 up.
Where's the reaction?
Yeah, Pellegrini would have given him a talking to at half time. 46 minutes, 3-0. They looked half asleep after half time. It's so bad. Well, and Wimbledon deserve particular credit as well, by the way, for West Ham getting it back to 3-2 and then Wimbledon sealing it a few minutes from the end.
Scott Wagstaff had a lovely time.
That goalie, which was it his first or his second where he gave the keeper the eyes?
The first one when he ran through a goal. Stuff. Had a lot to do.
Squeezed it in.
The second, though, was a nice little flick as well. Yeah. I mean, that's all the confidence from the first one that he's got there.
Of course it was.
That's beautiful.
I'll tell you what's magical about the FA Cup. Premier League managers being thoroughly ashamed of their teams and not being able to hide it.
Yeah. Pellegrini actually said it. Yes, I'm ashamed of my team.
Their assistant manager, Ruben Casillas, his name is, had his head in his hands. Like at 2-0 and 3-0. Like, just not even, there are cameras there, mate. Like, I love it. Yeah, I absolutely love it.
Pellegrini said Wimbledon played a team which didn't have any desire to win.
Talking about his own.
Yeah, that is unbelievable. He made a triple substitution as well at half time. That shows you how bad it was. Here are all of my cards. Get them in. And it didn't have the desired effect.
My favourite thing about it, Paul Ince on Match of the Day.
Oh,
that's
yeah.
a late booking, isn't it?
Oh, yeah. Let's really kick the boot into these guys today. See what Paul's up to.
Yeah,
Paul, he'll be free. Paul Ince is no compromise, is he? He still, when it comes to football, I think lives in yesteryear.
Especially when listening to a woman talk about it.
Well, let's not be too nasty with Paul, but yes, he. Well, anyway, let's move on. But
I didn't see this. Weren't you, Jim? Marcus, Jim, why don't you expand on this?
Expand on that. Get us in trouble.
He spoke over Alex Scott a lot recently and just sort of.
She was suggesting Olivier Giroud should start for Chelsea because they need a point of attack.
I agree.
Literally what Luke says.
Yeah, which is something we said in Paul Ince.
Oh, hang on a minute. No, hang on a minute. A girl said it.
Yeah. And Paul Ince was saying, yeah, but he hasn't scored it. He doesn't score goals. And if you're a striker, you're bought to score goals. And she said, that's very true. But may I remind you, in the World Cup, he played his part and they won. And he just, no, but he was just.
I watched a Swansea versus Arsenal game with Paul Ince once and he was very pleasant.
Yeah.
That's all I've got to add.
You've said it a number of times already.
Yeah.
So why are you defending what he did?
I'm not. We all know what Paul Ince thinks about goals because he wrote on that piece of paper, shoot.
Yeah, yes. He's all for it.
We all know what Wally Downs thinks of his team scoring the fourth goal against West Ham. He said it was really nice that the players and fans could enjoy the last few minutes. I mean, West Ham, hearing that, Wally Downs at the end of the game going, do you know, it was really nice because we could just relax, we could soak it up, enjoy it, have a bit of a sing-song without a Premier League side bearing down on us.
Felipe Anderson got to the point where he had enough, didn't he?
Just
smashed one in.
Yeah.
45 minutes he came. We came on at half time, I think.
He did.
Felipe Anderson looking like he's had enough at West Ham. Ooh, I wonder where that could possibly go.
Well, he'll have to release a video soon, won't he? Yeah. Of him in a bunker somewhere.
I'll be back for Wolves in the midweek.
Exceptional timing by West Ham to release that video as well. Who has signed a new contract, which I think is the same length as the old contract.
Yeah.
Anyway, and 10 minutes after they've been knocked out of the cup by FC Wimbledon, and will almost certainly move in the summer anyway.
Yeah.
It is one of the most pointless videos since that YouTube channel we had. That's how pointless it is.
It is very pointless. But let's go back to AFC Wimbledon, who were brilliant. Even though West Ham were terrible.
Because they're not a very good team, AFC Wimbledon, by the way.
That's it.
They're actually quite poor.
Yeah. What are they? League One, AFC Wimbledon at the moment.
Bottom down the bottom of League One. Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah, they're well below West Ham, and even though West Ham were piss poor, as we often say, if a team is there for the taking, you've still got to take them, and that is a Premier League side. Lest we forget, you know, Felipe Anderson, for crying out loud, you know, whips in a free kick and so on. But Wimbledon were fantastic. They deserved it. They were full of running, and they never let up, Jim.
Well, they overran West Ham in midfield. Obiang and Noble in there just got completely overrun. And that's really where the game was won and lost. Wimbledon was so dominant from the off. It wasn't even like one of those. Well, as you guys know, it wasn't just like we're just backs against the wall, nick a goal on the break type thing. They were by far the better team.
Absolutely right. Yeah. Oh, what a result! What a result! It wasn't the only shock of the round, though. Of course, Millwall beat Everton 3-2, and it's fair to say if you're a Premier League side in patchy form, the last thing you want is an evening away trip to Millwall in terrible conditions.
The last five top flight teams to go to the Den have been beaten.
It's super,
crazy, isn't it?
That place has a reputation, sometimes for worst, and regrettably there are allegations about chanting and so on and so forth.
Allegations. There were literally videos of them chanting racist, just racist things at the Scousers. So, yeah.
Right. Okay.
And there was also a physical incident outside the ground as well. Someone got cut.
There was a couple of firms turned up, had a bit of a scrap, and then somebody got proper naughty, got a standing knife out and
claret everywhere.
Oh, that's out of order, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's out of order, getting a knife in it, bringing a knife to a punch fight.
A punch fight?
Punch
fight. Like a bowl of punch. that's a punch.
Either way, it's pathetic.
Well, it is pathetic, and we wish all the best to the victim.
He was in the fight, I believe.
But obviously, that's extremely regrettable, of course, and as you say, it's pathetic and all the rest of it. But on the pitch, we shouldn't take anything away from the Millwall players, because as you say, Luke, the amount of Premier League sides that have gone there in sort of fairly recent years, and Everton are another one, and they play to their strengths, which seems to be
handball in the internet
chaos in the penalty area. It's just unbelievable. I mean, that goal, which was Cooper's goal, of course, no VAR at this match, but Neil Harris going absolutely mental when they were playing the goal on the big screen and everyone could see it was a handball. It's like, would you turn it off? There's no VAR for a reason.
I've got a real BM bonnet about this. I don't want to take your USP, Donaldson, but I have got a BM bonnet. Like, it cannot be right that if that game was played somewhere else, the geographical location of that game was different, the rules and the laws would have been applied differently. If Everton played that game, if it was at Goodison Park or if it was somewhere else and everything happened exactly the same as it did in that game, Everton wouldn't have gone out. And that cannot be right. You either have to have the laws applied when read the introduction of VAR consistently or not at all.
Yeah, that's why Neil Harris was shouting. He was shouting, this is not fair. You shouldn't be.
Oh, yeah. Is that right? Yeah. I've got to give him one to chalk that goal off, personally.
There's no VAR here. What are you doing? You're disrespecting the competition.
I don't want to. Surely you guys agree with that.
Yeah. I mean, generally, as we know, I'm a fan of VAR and we broadly disagree on a lot of stuff about it. But I think you're right here. I think it's, you've changed my mind on that. It's you're at a disadvantage based on just the luck of the draw, really. And I do think it's silly. So, I mean, how would you feel about it being at the semis and final? Because obviously they're only played at the same venue. So, and then obviously VAR is an advantage. Well,
I could understand that more, but if it's in the same round, imagine if they had it at completely. One semi-final and not the other.
Yeah.
Because that's essentially what we're talking about here. If you're deploying it in the cup in general, it has to be, okay, maybe third round on.
If you've got to the semis or the final, you know, you're in the penthouse.
What we're talking about is consistency. If the powers that be decide they want to bring it in at a certain point, that's completely different to bringing it in at certain grounds and not at others, because it's almost it feels a bit apologetic. It almost feels like, oh, well, we're just trying this at the moment, so it's not really a big deal. Well, it is a big deal because it affects things really badly, and for a number of different reasons, not least, of course, that Marco Silva's a manager who's a bit under pressure. I mean, this morning he's woken up to a load of headlines in a lot of newspapers saying that he's not improved Everton and not doing any very well, and what's he ever done for the game other than get Hull relegated, blah, blah, blah. The reality is, if they're going back to Goodison for a replay, he's got a chance to put that right. He's got a chance to get his tactics right. He's got a chance to win the game. I'm not taking anything away from Millwall, but
you
essentially...
You should be Silva's PR man. You do defend him. I do.
Look, I think he's got shortcomings as a manager. I think he's not pragmatic enough, and I think he thinks he's managing Barcelona, and he doesn't adjust his tactics enough when he's playing a better team. I think he thinks his team are the best, and they don't have to change. And that's his major shortcoming, just from my observation. But he's only been in the job since May, and it was an absolute shit fight before he came along. Mm-hmm. So it's almost an extension of the Emery thing at Arsenal. What do you expect to happen in this amount of time? Because you can't win a trophy in January. He can't deliver. They're not going to be top of the league. It's completely unrealistic. Now, I understand they could be doing a lot better, but I do think he needs more time because I think he's a promising coach. I think players speak very highly of him and all the other stuff that I've already talked about. But the reality is, Millwall, you can't take anything away from Millwall, literally, because they've won the game 3-2. One of those goals shouldn't have been allowed. There should be a replay. And Marco Silva should not be under the pressure he's under because the laws have not been applied consistently in the competition where they should be. It's as simple as that.
Yeah, I know what you mean, but I think talking about Marco Silva being under pressure, I mean, with regards to the game, I mean, yes, the goal should have been chalked off.
Millwall were the better team,
but it's this,
of course.
But it's this kind of nonsense that devalues the cup. You know, if you're gonna use it in every... You can either try and use it in every round from round one, let's say. Let's forget about the qualifying rounds for sensibilities. But if it can't be applied, like I said before, if it can't be scaled up and scaled down, it's not worth it.
It's not fit for purpose.
It's not fit for purpose.
And the Neil Harris thing, just very quickly, the Neil Harris thing, you know, that's a disgrace he's doing that. He's saying, I know that was a handball. I know that goal shouldn't be allowed. And I'm terrified if you keep playing it, the referee's going to notice and we're not going to get away with cheating. Mm. That's basically what he's saying. And that's not right either. I think Millwall overall were the better team in this game. I saw the game. I thought they were the better team. But a lot went on in that game that shouldn't have happened. And it shames the competition and it shames the sport. And I don't think it's right.
Yeah, I think saying there's going to be a replay or there should be a replay, that can't happen. But the issue, the reason that won't happen is that what's been decided is that it's effectively written into the rules of the competition this season that it will be inconsistent.
Yes.
That's part of the rules, which is
By the way, just for clarity, I'm not calling for a replay. I'm saying that if that handball had been spotted, we would be having a replay at Goodison Park,
I see.
Marco Silva wouldn't be under as much pressure. That's what I meant. I probably didn't make that clear. I'm not calling for a Neil Warnock situation.
Will someone think of Marco Silva? That's all we're saying. But Millwall, it's fair to say, did make the most of set pieces and Everton's vulnerability from them and the weather.
By literally using their arms.
That was one of the goals.
Yeah, not the other two. I know, I understand.
Exactly, yeah. Wallace, he finished very calmly to slot home the winner. I thought it was wonderful play from the big man. And clearly I'm the only one.
No.
It's good.
What do you want, a hip hip hooray?
I'm just bringing something to the table.
Because it was a very sort of frantic, emotional situation, wasn't it?
I scored a perfect hat-trick on the weekend.
This is the third time you've mentioned that since you sat in that chair.
Took him 30, who had 30 minutes in the sweepstake?
Yeah.
What did you hear about it?
Was the last time you won a game, Marcus?
On Saturday.
Before that,
me personally, it's a team game, Jim, and Millwall showed
October.
When was the last time you played in a leather side game?
This is great radio, guys. Keep going.
There we are, you see.
But
perfect hat-tricks aside, Millwall scored three goals themselves.
Ordinarily, that 94th minute winner should have been a brilliant moment. And unfortunately,
and it was.
You couldn't enjoy it as much because it left a sour taste.
Is it fair to say Millwall didn't care and they'd enjoyed it?
Of course they didn't. No, why would they care? Yeah.
No one likes them and they don't care.
Exactly. Quite clearly. All right then, let's move on to another side who scored three goals in the fourth round. Manchester United, great game at the Emirates. Yes. That got the fourth round going, it's fair to say. Solskjaer made it 8 wins out of 8. Vintage Manchester United at Arsenal. And to really hammer this home, Solskjaer, with his little baby face, said that they look like a proper team compared to Arsenal. And he said they've been working on counter-attacking, which is something that everybody's been talking about, of course. And then he gave a few examples, specifically Manchester United goals, obviously, because that's his side, away at Arsenal. And I did think to we said this on Thursday, and a lot of people, Arsenal will have the ball, Manchester United will counter-attack, and they won't care. And I just sort of think to myself, Arsenal will not learn. Like, it was so obvious how I might not be able to do it. And I know it's difficult. I know something maybe Iron Robin's cut inside and shot was obvious, but it was bloody hard to defend against.
Yeah, well, it is, because if you look at the Chelsea game, Arsenal won that by pressing hard and putting a lot of effort in. And that is a more effective tactic for Arsenal than it is relying on their quite shaky defence sometimes. So yes. I think they went for it in the way that you know, they're likely to get the best out of the side, and they were just picked off. So I think, you know, I kind of get why Emery's gone for it that way, because I don't know if you sort of invite pressure on the Man United side in this sort of form that's going to work either.
Yeah,
I agree. I think they played to their strengths, Arsenal. They rolled the dice. They knew their strengths were going forward, and they're at home. So I understand why they did that. Obviously, playing Lukaku out on the right, a lot's been made about that and how effective he was against the physicality of Kolasinac, and that worked really well for Solskjaer.
Is Lukaku the new Dirk Kuyt?
Well, it could well be.
Do you know what I mean?
Bloody expensive Dirk Kuyt.
He was brilliant there.
He was very good. And I really enjoyed him bringing Rashford and Martial on when the game was 2-1.
Yes.
Saying, you know what, we're not going to sit back here and try and protect what we've got. We're going to give Arsenal something further to think about. Arsenal chase the game. Perhaps they're going to think twice about chasing it when they know we've got even more power on the break, which of course manifested itself in a goal from Martial. And there was a great dig from Solskjaer as well, where another dig towards Mourinho, where he said he's got selection problems because he's got so many good players.
Yeah, but doesn't it feel like that at the moment? Like, because Mourinho is constantly talking about how Luke Shaw's not really a footballer, or I have to start Lukaku because he's the only option I've got, and then it's impossible to use this player and that player. But now you look at that team and it looks like it's absolutely stuffed with talent, and there's goals coming from everywhere.
Yeah, the stuff he was saying about Shaw, like, oh, I've got to do all this thinking for him, I have to follow him up and down the touchline. I mean, he looks absolutely fine now. I mean, he played very well. I know Maitland-Niles isn't really a fullback, and he was up against him, but he did a pretty good job.
The problem for Manchester United, though, is that they have Paul Pogba, and he's just clearly not a winner.
Yeah,
and he's clearly not very good, and he's an absolute he's a World Cup winner. People in the media, I don't get it. I don't get why people still.
He'll never win your cups.
It's because he costs so much money, and they want him to be a cross between Roy Keane and Cristiano Ronaldo for that money, and he's not that type of player, but he's judged as if he is. And also, there's probably another thing at play, which is obvious.
Yes, that is quite, well, yeah.
His hair.
His social media.
But yeah, I thought it was a great win for United, and Solskjaer marches on, and the tactical changes he made for this Arsenal game showed that he's actually, showed people like me, shut me up, because all I said was, look, he's just picking quick players and he's giving them confidence, and he's not Jose Mourinho. But now he's starting to show tactical changes, all that kind of stuff. You know,
is it Mike more than a feeling?
It could be. He's playing a part.
Is this a much better team than he's ever had before, though, to be fair?
Of course it is.
It must be a bit easier for players to do the things.
Who did he
have
at Cardiff, though?
Exactly, you know what I mean?
I'll tell you something. Mulder must be loving this. When he goes back there, they'll be flying up the league.
Will he go back there? Yeah. Do you think there's a chance he'll get the job now?
He's got to be in the hat if this carries on, right?
If he wins every single game?
If he wins every single game. It depends what happens when they draw or lose, doesn't it? And how they bounce back.
If, Jimmy.
If.
I just can't believe this has happened.
I love it.
I said it was a free roll of the dice. Now it's becoming a real problem.
But with every win, it mugs off Mourinho even more.
The thing is,
what I love about it.
He could legitimately win
everything.
Like, he could legitimately win his first 12 games in a row, because they've got Burnley at home next,
yeah.
Leicester away, Fulham away, and they're at home to PSG, which will obviously be a test.
Yeah.
But they're at home, and the one thing that you've got to say about Man United and the way Solskjaer's done things so far is it's easy to forget that United is synonymous with these massive nights in European football. And if he gets the atmosphere pumping,
yeah,
and they're full of confidence, and they've won 11 games in a row, and they're playing PSG at home.
Oh, and he brings himself on the last 10 minutes.
Yeah, but you say all that, guys. You say all that. But the problem is they've got Paul Pogba.
Yeah,
and it all comes crashing down.
He's like an anchor.
Weighing
them down.
did you enjoy 10 minutes of injury time? I mean, that was strange, wasn't it?
A treat.
I understand why it was given.
No, I didn't enjoy it because of all the injuries.
It was a bad for Arsenal.
You don't see 100 very often on the clock.
No, you don't. I mean, Socrates is out for a month. That's a big loss, because Shelny's face isn't as bad as was first thought. It's thought he had a broken jaw, which would have been so Arsenal and such bad luck for him, especially, you know, given the form he's been in since getting back. But apparently that won't be so long term, so that's good. But obviously, you know, he's getting on. He's back from injury. More than anyone, he needs to be rotated, and there's going to be a lot of games coming up for him, sadly.
Yeah, indeed. All right, ladies and gentlemen, more fourth round action of the FA Cup after this.
Quality sleep is essential. That's why the Sleep Number Smart Bed is designed for your ever-evolving sleep needs. Need a bed that's firmer or softer on either side? Helps you sleep at a comfortable temperature? Sleep Number smart beds let you individualize your comfort, so you sleep better together. JD Power ranks Sleep Number number one in customer satisfaction with mattresses purchased in-store. And now, save 40% on the Sleep Number limited edition smart bed for a limited time. For JD Power 2023 award information, visit jdpower.com/awards. Only at Sleep Number stores or sleepnumber.com.
I'm going to say 1, 2, 3, Steve, and then we'll just reveal ourselves.
There's Incy Wincy.
Reveal yourself, Incy.
Yes. All right then, ladies and gentlemen, it's now time for emails with our resident hard man, PED.
Hello, everyone. It's the resident hard man, PED. Who fancies a scrap? No knives. Billy
punch
Sharp's.
Punch fights.
Punch fights. Billy Sharp's Mr. Soccer. A lot of love for that on the emails. There's so many people who got in touch. He did the mandible claw. If you're familiar, Billy Sharp from
Sheffield United,
he got a Mr. Socko, which is Mankind, the wrestler, Mick Foley. He had like a Mr. Socko kind of puppet.
Did he have it in his sock?
I think it was down his pants. And then he put it in someone's mouth.
Yeah. I see what you're saying.
But it's an official, I think it was actually an official Mick Foley Mr. Socko, which I quite like. Yeah. And then he just threw it into the crowd. That's expensive.
It is, and it's also.
I hope he gets another Mr. Soccer.
It's a very bizarrely out of date reference to make.
Really,
isn't it? Can I just get this absolutely clear? He had a piece of merchandise sock down his pants.
Yes.
He pushed it into a man's mouth.
Yes.
He's in his
30s. And threw it into a child's face.
I guess.
Okay, right, fine. Yeah, great. That.
Yeah.
Football, great.
Wrestling, even better. Hello to all of the people who got involved. Basically, had so many emails about that, and so many emails about the Notts County owner, Alan Hardy, tweeting his penis and then putting the club up for sale almost immediately.
He likes to be known as Big Al.
Mm. Yeah, sleepy. Sleepy in the camera roll.
Confusing for anyone that saw his camera on.
Alan Hardy.
Jaime, I think it's Jaime. It's spelled J-A-I-M-I-E.
Jaime
like Jaime Moreno.
I'll do.
Jaime Cafash. Dear Ramblers, I've been sitting on this for a while. But when Luke mentioned he doesn't know a Burton fan, it seemed like a good time to write in, because my mate John is a Burton fan. He travelled up from London to go to the Bradford game today, but John has no links to Burton. He's born and raised in London, and his family are not from Burton. He's only been supporting them for 4 years this time round, because John supports whoever Nigel Clough manages.
What?
Before Burton, he was an avid Sheffield United fan. Before that, Derby. And before that, Burton, when they were all in the non-league. He goes to games, he joins the fan clubs, he posts on message boards, he takes girlfriends to Gillingham versus Sheffield United. He was devastated after City humiliation and took a night off WhatsApp. coming back the following day with some reflective thoughts. He will openly admit that as soon as Clough leaves, he will support his next club. Which makes the story even stranger is that he has no real reason for this behaviour. When asked about why he follows Nigel Clough, he just answers, "I just like Nigel Clough." It seems bizarre. Having known him for 23 years, I still can't fully explain it, but I swear every word is true. He actually puts a PS saying that me and you, Luke, both know a mutual friend of Strange John. Let's not get into it now, but we can confirm
I don't recognise that name.
Maybe you could be friends with John and you'll have a temporary.
Yeah, I'd like to hear from John. I mean, if this is indeed true, and I've got no reason to believe it isn't.
I'm going to find out whether John actually supports Burton or not.
What do you love about Nigel Clough so much? Just let us know.
Great goal scorer.
He were. Wow.
He was a fantastic goal scorer.
Sort of.
He was really good.
He was decent enough.
As good as his dad, but he was decent.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's see his goal record. Get it up.
Fair enough.
If you want to get
it. Stop. Is it Nigel Clough?
Get it up like
Alan Hardy.
Alan Hardy. we'll be back on Thursday with more emails. We're going to get to the show short, thefootballramble.com.
Marvellous. Back to the FA Cup fourth round where Middlesbrough got a draw against Newport County. That's not how it was reported, though. Tony Pulis will be going home as League Two Newport. They earned a replay at the Riverside.
Pulis probably wants that, though, right? He wants to go home and settle some old scores. So imagine he's got like a trail of grudges wherever he goes.
I think all those scores were settled years ago. I would say so.
He's not a man who appears to sort of leave scores unsettled.
Yes, I'd say. Well, it was interesting, wasn't it? Because Middlesbrough was looking fairly comfortable. We talked about on Thursday their lack of goal scoring, but their extremely tight and stingy defence. Mm. And of course, when they went 1-0 up, you thought to yourself, right, well, this is how it's going to pan out. And of course, it nearly did. But it was in the latter stages, the sort of last 10 minutes, Newport came forward. Antoine Semenyo started to liven things up, certainly for them. And then on came Dolan, who was a Middlesbrough fan. He's born in Hartlepool, actually, but he's from the northeast. And apparently Michael Flynn, the manager, said to his assistant that they've got to bring on Dolan because he's a Middlesbrough fan and whatnot. He said, "I'm not very sentimental, but I thought, well..." And he's thinking to himself, "We're probably going out."
Then he scored an absolute screamer.
Well, he came on in the 87th minute, but Flynn said he did my head in because his socks weren't ready. He hadn't taped them up properly, so he took longer than he wanted. We had a few choice words, but it's all forgotten about now. Yeah, as soon as that goal went in, it was forgotten about. 100%.
And Middlesbrough just didn't finish off Newport. They just didn't finish them off.
Yeah.
And we talked about it on Thursday's show, and I said, it'd be great if Newport were drawn at home to Middlesbrough because I think they'd have a real chance. Well, now they have got a real chance. Yeah. And all I would say is welcome back to English football, John Obi Mikel.
He
had an hour against Newport, got taken off. Obviously, probably not that match fit, but not a place he would choose to start his career back in England, I wouldn't have thought.
No, well, in Wales, he'll be, you know, you say English football, a bit of Welsh football as well.
Matthew Dolan looks so pleased. He's got a little cheeky grin.
Yeah.
He loved it. He absolutely loved it.
So he should love it. It was a brilliant, brilliant draw for them because, earning the draw, because getting back to Rodney Parade, you know, having beaten Leicester there as well, it's the last thing Middlesbrough want. Games coming thick and fast in the Championship. They're going for promotion. You don't want to be messing around with that. So, could be another cup set there. Shrewsbury Town were so close. Oh, the Shrews were so close to a big upset at New Meadow. Mm. Doherty scored a nice opener to get things going there. And then with the game sort of nicely balanced, Santo brings on Jimenez and Moutinho. And if you're a Shrewsbury player, you're looking at that and thinking, oh, come on. Where's our penalty at halftime to score? Referencing the Swedish competition, of course, there.
That we haven't mentioned on this show yet.
Yes, exactly. Yeah. Sorry,
did a callback to something on a different show.
Forgive me, everybody.
Brilliant.
Sorry, everybody. Steve Arnold, he made a great save from Costa. Jimenez missed a chance. And the game was still finely balanced in the second half. It could have gone either way. And of course, it ended up being in a 2-2 draw. Did you enjoy that one, chaps?
I think Shrewsbury are really poor. So again, I was
surprised that they got through the replay, wasn't it?
We're seeing a lot of, I know Wolves aren't out, but we're seeing a lot of Premier League teams going out.
I know, and it was close there.
And well, if you look at the not just the players that Wolves brought on, but they played a pretty strong team. Mm-hmm. I think they played the usual formation as well. Clearly, Nuno is targeting a trophy because he wants to stamp his name down. You know, now they're back in the top flight. But again, a team who haven't been brilliant this season, in the shape of Shrewsbury, who have been there. I mean, I saw Shrewsbury at Fratton Park maybe, I think it might have been last season. They were very good. They beat Portsmouth 1-0. They were decent. This season, they haven't really got going. They're right down the bottom in the thick of it. They're struggling badly. The only games they've sort of won recently have been the game they beat Stoke away from home in the last round of the FA Cup.
Mm-hmm.
And I thought, I can't really remember them winning.
Well, they've shown that they can beat better opposition away.
Quite. And then they get this this draw. They were very, very close to going through, though, as you said, Marcus. And so you wonder, going back to Manu, whether they'll find it tough. But a good showing from them.
Very good showing indeed, yeah. There was much made about the note passed to Norburn before he took the corner, which led to Luke Waterfall crashing in the second. But the note wasn't actually about the set piece.
Yeah, I don't know why people think that it's like some sort of magic spell.
Mm. Oh, yeah, well, maybe they're thinking it's the magic of the FA Cup.
Yeah, yeah, maybe, yeah.
It was just sort of dust appeared when he did that.
It was a Neil Warlock spell.
Mm, yes. I think so.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. What would the note say? Like, put it in on the keeper or
abracadabra. Yeah.
And even if he had noticed something at the corner, how on earth is he going to get it quick enough to the guy taking the corner beforehand?
Yeah,
it doesn't make any sense. Mm. Uh-huh. Mm. Make any sense. Be reasonable, guys.
Yeah. What about Accrington Stanley against Derby? A couple of red cards. There was a record crowd of nearly 5,400 at the Wham Stadium.
They're Wham sponsored by Wham as well.
Are they sponsored by the Wham Bar or the band Wham?
Sadly, not the band.
Both.
So it's the bar?
Yeah.
No, it isn't.
What is it?
It's not the Wham. It's not the Wham.
What is it then?
I don't know, but it's not that.
Have a quick Google, mate, while we talk about them surely coming out to Club Tropicana or something like that.
I always forget that I was watching Liverpool Rangers yesterday for some reason, and I always forget. I know they've been doing it since for 10 years or something, but Tony Macaroni is a fantastic name to write in front of your top.
Yeah, I totally agree.
Tony Macaroni.
Every time I hear it, I think it's a piss take.
Yeah, it's mad.
Wham is the trading brand of plastic storage manufacturers Whatmore UK.
There you go.
Wham, there's your kitchen.
It's very boring compared to the idea of a Wham bar, which Pete Donaldson essentially grew up on, didn't you?
Yeah, really? Them and I am brewing Highland Toffee. Yeah,
you fell into a vat of Wham bars, didn't you? And that's why you're the way you
molten,
are.
Molten Wham bars.
Mm-hmm. Mutant.
Pete's bones are made of desperate damn bars.
That's right, yeah. John Coleman was angry. Accrington manager was very,
not
very angry.
Far out of football, Marcus.
Yeah, he didn't take
sick.
It well, did he?
He did apologise the following day for his comments, but he was furious.
I thought it was a real shame, because I don't think he's got anything to complain about with the red card.
No, they were two bookings.
You can't throw yourself in like that on a yellow. And secondly, the reason it's a real shame is because Accrington were genuinely really good. And
even when they went down to 10?
They were brilliant. And I think it's sad, because everyone's talking about John Coleman's comments now, rather than the team. The team were brilliant. And I think he's so sickened not to go through, because I think he felt like that was their chance.
It was so close, wasn't it?
Yeah.
They were great. When Accrington went down to 10 men, they gave such a good account of themselves. Martin Waghorn with a scrappy one. It really was. Derby will be very, very pleased and relieved to have gotten that one out the way. It's one of those games where the game starts and it's a bit of a scrappy affair, and the better side are thinking, just let's get this done and get out of here. Apparently, when Fulham went there in the cup, Hodgson turned up and looked at it and went, right, we're getting changed in the hotel up the road or something like
that.
Did
he?
I think, I can't remember, I think it was John Coleman himself, maybe, or a club representatives were saying how they kind of pride it in being a bit of a place where
people don't want to be.
Exactly, yeah, and they kind of go, oh, blimey.
Well, Frank Lampard said a similar thing. I thought Frank Lampard's comments after the game were quite interesting. He said he was really pleased to be a part of it. He loved it.
Yeah.
And he said it reminded him of a game Chelsea played against Scunthorpe in
the
couple
of ways,
and they won 1-0. But he said, you know, it was a really difficult game, and we weren't definitely the better team, etc. But Jaden Bogard, the best, most cynical professional foul of the weekend, which basically essentially stopped Accrington scoring,
and that's probably
in the last minute.
Yeah, and that's why Coleman's furious, because a moment like that where they had a chance, and a Derby player is just hauling him down, and then there was a free kick which the keeper well saved. It was so they were so close to getting a replay, or well, even get a win. Or his ball drops to them in the box and so on. And I think that's why he's furious. It's kind of like, that one's got away. What a chance it was. Will they be in a position in the fourth round of the cup and so on and so forth? And it just all got on top of him, I think, and it exploded in that rage. But with Frank Lampard, it was just, you're talking about his comments after the game, the way he handles himself. I've always liked Lampard as a as a player, but even the way he's conducted himself in the media. I'm reminded of in the 2010 World Cup when John Terry gave that interesting press conference, and then Lampard was pretty much wheeled out after to kind of tidy up
sort
that mess.
Out.
He's very good in front of the cameras, and I really hope that obviously I want to see more English managers do well because we're bereft of them. But I do think Lampard he's got it about him. Yeah. I know that's a sort of an obvious thing to say, but not just necessarily because of his playing career being an ex. Pro and so on.
It'll be.
I think he's you know, if he can get the tactics right, if he can carry on learning and so on, I think he could go to the top. This boy will go to the very top, as Harry Redknapp once said about him.
Yeah, well, he was sat there awkwardly. I get the feeling he'll come up short this season with Derby. I think they might just they've had a good season so far. I think they'll carry on doing well. My feeling is they might just come up short. But then it's key what happens in the summer, because Derby have gone through managers fairly quickly in recent years. Hope they stick with him because he's learning this trade, isn't he? But you're right, he cuts a pretty impressive figure, and he's got so much experience in the game as a player. I think he's well worth his weight. I think hopefully he'll go on to great things as a manager. And Accrington, again, another team who aren't really doing much domestically in the league, raising their game. They looked the better team. They were the better team in that game overall.
I mean, say that though, no teams won't want to play Derby.
No.
I mean, you see them. They've knocked out Southampton, Manchester United. We should say Mourinho's Manchester United, shouldn't we?
Maybe.
Because it's a bit more, in case people think,
it's a different flavour, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's a different flavour of Wamba.
The Catholic United.
Yeah. All right, ladies and gentlemen, after the break, we're going to talk more FA Cup fourth round action and the WhatsApp group. See you in a minute.
Wasn't clattering on.
No, he wasn't.
No. Who does clatter on anyway? Certainly not us at the Football Ramble.
Mark Clattenburg.
The Premier League returns. The Premier League returns this weekend, and we shall be previewing it in our preview show. Well, actually, it returns this week.
Tuesday.
Man
City versus Newcastle. Live on BT Sport.
So we'll be reviewing...
Live from Pete's nightmare.
Live from behind Pete's fingers.
We will be reviewing and previewing our beloved Premier League on our preview show sponsored by Bet365. We need a new better as Pete let us all down.
I had 4 minutes of fun, didn't I?
You're an absolute wanker.
Manchester United won.
Yeah.
And if it wasn't for the always excellent Narky Wells.
Yes. I think if you hadn't selected Portsmouth as your best bet with Bet365, we'd be in, obviously in the hat, but we'd be through.
It's terrible, isn't
it? Puts the goal up, the atmosphere's pumping.
Smashing it in from 1 yard. Yeah. You need to look at your defence, mate. It's problematic. I actually, Narky Wells, because of his fantastic name, Bermudian, the Premier League in Bermuda is wonderful. Have you seen some of the names in the Premier League? Boulevard Blazers, the Dandy Town Hornets, which was his previous club.
Nice.
The X-Roads Warriors.
Whoa. Boulevard Blazers?
Yeah. It gets better, though. Robin Hood, Young Men's Social Club, Somerset Trojans, and Flanagan's Onions.
That's really good.
I'd play the Flanagan's Onions.
Flanagan's Onions.
There's one, I think it's in the Bahamas, who are called Insurance Management Bears.
Nice.
Love
very
that.
Good. Very good.
Oh, anyway, but we are still collectively and me individually annoyed at Naki Wells for that goal. And Portsmouth are certainly going to be out.
I thought they were going to go through.
It's a shame.
It's a big shame.
It is a big shame.
But there we are. That's to be expected, isn't it? All right, let's go back to the fourth round of the Cup. Crystal Palace. Was this the curse of the FA Cup?
What do you mean?
Remember that? We were talking about that on the last show.
Yes,
oh, yeah.
It was. Yeah, no, it wasn't because...
Crystal Palace was supposed to go out.
Yeah, Spurs were meant to go through and then go out the next round.
Well, the curse is broken.
Yeah. The curse is broken.
And it was Conor Wickham who pretty much broke it. Yeah,
his first goal. Again, what a screamer.
Yeah. First goal in over 2 years, Jim.
Yeah, no, it's nice to see him...
He's had, what did he say on his Twitter, 700-odd days out of the game?
799 games without a goal.
Days, not games.
Days.
Bloody hell.
Yeah, that was... Sorry, yeah.
What a career.
You're thinking of Andy Carroll.
I am thinking of Andy Carroll. Yeah, no, you're right. That was it, yeah.
Yeah,
it's incredible, really.
So, yeah, over 2 years without a goal. So that was lovely to see. It was also lovely to see Julian Speroni get man of the match after his error at Anfield.
A great double save. He bounced back. Yeah, good for
him. That one point blank range, just sticking his hand out for the second one. I was like, oh no.
What on earth was...
Danny Rose, was it?
No, he was on the bench. Oh, come on.
What on earth was Kyle Walker-Peters doing, Jim?
Yeah, it was a strange one, that, wasn't it? It just seemed like a lapse of concentration, maybe? I don't know.
Rush of blood.
Just any cliche to explain a player just handballing it in their box for apparently no reason. Yeah. Just apply any of them.
Rush of blood
to
his muscles that made the muscle move.
And pleasing to see Andros Townsend get another one.
Yeah, it doesn't count those FA Cup, though.
It does count. But in our little duel,
in our little ding-dong.
Yeah, you're saying...
He's sticking over, though, isn't he, Mark?
I'm in so much trouble.
He should have had a second, actually.
I didn't realise he was on penalties. That's annoying.
Andros Townsend was very forthright on Twitter as well yesterday, where he... because it's Twitter, a lot of people on Twitter were criticising him for not celebrating, and he, I thought, quite eloquently said, you know, they made me as a player, 16 years, I was at the club, and... all the rest of it, I've made the exact number of appearances. It obviously means a great deal to him to come through there. And he said, look, I just wanted to be respectful. I wanted to appreciate what I've done. And I think in that situation, you can understand.
It's not so much the lack of celebrating. Sometimes if it's something quite specific like that, it's when they apologise.
That
really pisses me off. Yeah. Remember, Tammy Abraham, I think it was, did that when he was played for Swansea and scored against Chelsea. It's like, but they kept loaning you out. They never really. I know he might say he developed and went through there, but it's those kind of ones where you think, come on, you weren't really there for very long.
Well, it's just when I've seen it when a player just goes and spends like a month on loan somewhere, and then scores against him a couple of years later.
Just does the calm down.
Yeah, it's clearly not the same thing. Townsend clearly has got a lot of affinity with Spurs. He credits them, and rightly so, with making him into a professional footballer. And clearly, he didn't want to go over the top. Now, some people would go over the top because they would say, well, yeah, they made me as a player, but they didn't give me a chance and I didn't make the grade there, and so I'm going to show them. And I understand that as well.
Some people say, well, I'm just celebrating a goal for my current club. There's nothing wrong with that at all.
But I was made in the Royal Navy.
Is it that hard to celebrate respectfully as well? Just sort of pump your fist and run back to the...
Is it so hard to celebrate respectfully by running over to Pochettino and willy coptering in his face? Is it so hard?
I would say no.
Ask Alan Hardy.
Show me camera.
But you know, Spurs were so poor, particularly in the first half. I can't remember seeing them play so badly as they did in the first half. And then obviously Lamela came on and tried to get it going. But it seems like Pochettino wants to preserve top four status at all costs.
He's pretty much said that, hasn't he? He said we shouldn't be looking at winning cups.
And maybe
I think it must be maddening for Tottenham fans.
Sure, but I think maybe after everything's settled down and they secure their Champions League status again and they're in their stadium, then maybe he's thinking now we can kick on and look to strengthen and challenge on different fronts. But I think Watford, who are Wednesdays, Spurs play Watford on Wednesday. Well, they should have been the inspiration there because look what they did at Newcastle. I think they made 11 changes. Mm. They went through. All the players looked so up for it. Newcastle are only 1 point worse off than Palace in the league. So I think it is a fair comparison. And what you didn't see based on what you saw in that game against Palace, Spurs, is that these players who have been brought into the team to be given a chance, just either they made mad decisions, as you guys have mentioned with Kyle Walker-Peters, or with the exception of Wan Foyth, just didn't really look like they were at the races at all.
Well, they have a chance with a penalty. And it was a poor one. Yeah. I know Trippier, you know...
He's not having a great season.
No, he's not.
Also, not having Eriksen on the bench as an option when Kane and Ali are out as well. It smacks of Pochettino actually meaning what he says when he says he's not that bothered about the cups.
For me, though, Jim, I would level that at Winks, who's a young kid who can use the ball well, he doesn't have to be box to box. Eriksen played 120 minutes against Chelsea in the Carabao Cup, so you can sort of understand resting him. I understand maybe not having him on the bench, but it is also worth remembering that, I mean, I think this weekend coming, because Spurs play on Wednesday and then play on Saturday, I think they've already played 18 games in 8 weeks and they've had 37 different injuries this season already. So there is a factor there, but you can't keep making excuses because all teams have injuries. And what you're looking for is you're looking for players who are on the periphery of the team to come in and stake their claim. That's what's got to be done. Also, and they didn't do that.
I just wonder if this is if it's a reflection of Pochettino not being that bothered about the cups, and I'm sure that it is. And I think, you know, it's very easy for people to go, ha ha, Spurs think they're better than winning cups when they've not actually won that much. Especially in recent years, but if I was a Spurs fan, surely you'd be annoyed by that. Surely you want them to go and put a trophy in the cabinet.
It's well
within their ability.
But if you're a fan, you want to win cups. I mean, there was a comment about, I think it was about Derby actually. Maybe it was Danny Murphy who said it. If it wasn't, forgive me, Danny. Where he said, well, talking about the cups and all, and it was a comment about, oh, well, yeah, but Derby, you know, yeah, if they could choose between the cup and promotion, obviously they're going to go for promotion, blah, blah, blah. And I was like, hang on. I think Derby only won the FA Cup. I'd looked at it in like 1946. Are you trying to tell me that Derby would prefer promotion than the FA Cup? They'll get promotion next season. A couple say, there's no way. Like, Derby won the FA Cup. And I think sometimes people can downplay these kind of trophies because of Champions League spots, because of promotion, blah, 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 blah. I don't know. And that's why I loved it for old Palace there. Palace, I don't think, have ever won the FA Cup. They've been in the finals. I know it sounds ridiculous. I would love to see them do it. Because if you think, you know, you've got the two Manchester sides still in the Cup, Chelsea are still in there. Yes, of course. But, you know, if you get an all-Manchester tie in the next round or whatever, you never know. Pathways open up. I would love to see a team like Palace do it.
Yeah.
Specifically Palace, but you know, if it's someone else.
Would you wheel Pardew out for the dance?
Mm. I think that would be inappropriate.
I think Pardew turning up to anything is like, what's the reverse of an orgasm?
an ingasm?
And it's like just something that just is the worst thing in the world. Yeah.
Why don't you look at me when you said that?
I think Roy Hodgson would deal with it if Pardew turned up. Yeah.
Deal with it.
So
are you supporting Palace in the Cup just to further your love affair with Andros Townsend?
Or do you support Nigel Clough?
I supported Nigel Clough in the League Cup semi-final, second leg.
Yeah.
And that's as far as it went for me.
Oh, you were very critical of him.
Very critical indeed. Mm. So yes, that fan will be disappointed with me. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's open the WhatsApp group.
We've got a little jingle for that, Pete.
WhatsApp!
For God's sake!
Glad you could make it, everybody. Glad
she really sounds like Axl Rose, that Four Non Blondes singer.
Mm. Yeah, a little bit.
I think I probably said before, when I was a kid, she used to petrify me because her mouth was so big.
Oh, really?
She's got a big old mouth as, what's her name now?
She writes a lot of songs now for other artists, doesn't she?
She certainly does.
Very, very successful.
I can't remember her name.
Well, on the WhatsApp group, what were we talking about? Well, Alan Hardy, of course. That came up. We've already mentioned that.
So. Alan Hardy, his list.
Alan Softy.
Yeah. His list of
Alan
of,
Sleepy,
shall we say, indiscretions. I mean, he's one of these. It's actually sad. I mean, you can joke about it all we like, and obviously we have. Not to count the oldest football league club in the country. Yeah, they're bottom of the football league at the moment. They could go out the football league for the first time in their history.
Yeah.
And Alan Hardy is one of these guys who is this owner who fancies himself as the big shot and the big swinging dick in the town and all that other stuff.
Clearly,
and some of the stuff he comes out with is outrageous. And Daniel Taylor in the Guardian wrote a really interesting piece about it, how it's been to the detriment of the club, because Notts County used to have a pretty good relationship with Nottingham Forest, quite a friendly rivalry,
and
Nottingham Forest would regularly loan out players to Notts County, and they have done up until very recently.
Right.
But because of Alan Hardy's comments, they've now started loaning players to the other Nottingham shirt. Team Mansfield Town instead, which is essentially massively cost Notts County. So it's a great example of a chairman being hugely detrimental to the on-field activity of a team. And this is a team who's been around for 150 odd years. It's a disgrace. It's a disgrace. So joking aside, I know this is the humorous part of the show, but I wanted to get that out there because I want Notts County fans to know that we stand alongside them.
Very much so. And we disapprove of Alan's Hardy.
Yes.
Okay.
Doing the old Ian Botham. Disagree with that.
I was hacked.
Let's go down under. Let's go down under.
Not again. We've just done that.
Oh, sorry. I'm not talking about Alan's Hardy again. I'm talking about Brisbane Roar. Snatched a very late point against Western Sydney Wanderers on Friday night last week.
This was incredible.
It was 2-1 to Wanderers.
Brisbane poor.
It was.
It was 2-1 to Wanderers in the 96th minute with the ball going tamely out of play. And you just think, that's it. They've had their last sort of effort. The ball's going out of play. And then what will happen is the goal kick will be booted around to the halfway line. And the referee will blow his whistle. 2-1. Good win. Lovely old job. The goalkeeper, Vedran Janjetovic, for some reason tried to control the ball with his foot. Tamely out of play. There's no pressure.
But he didn't commit to the control.
No. So he stood tamely. It was so weak.
It was like he was thinking about something else, wasn't it? And then he realised his body was trying to control the ball.
It was a brain fart.
So he gave away a corner. Very, very unnecessarily. And you think to yourself, okay, that's annoying. Defend the corner. Of course, the Brisbane Roar score from that corner.
No longer Brisbane poor.
Yes, exactly.
They snatched a point.
Brisbane draw.
Brisbane Roar against... Brisbane draw against the Western Sydney fucking disgraces. Particularly the keeper.
Just every week there's another clip from Down Under where it's just like, stop. Look, if you can't play properly, get out.
I think this is their marketing strategy.
Yes,
we've heard a lot about Premier League exporting it around the world, using it as diplomatic soft power. We've heard a lot about La Liga trying to emulate the Premier League.
Yep.
Australia are just saying, look, let's just show everyone how mad we are, and people will love it, and it's working for us.
Yeah.
You love this sport. We think it's stupid. Yeah. Our league reflects that.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, let's have a little Asia Cup update, because on the same Friday night, Australia went out to the host nation UAE.
Is that a poor night for Australian football?
Seems to be. Seems to be. The semi-finals are today and tomorrow. Iran versus Japan.
Japan.
Qatar versus the United Arab Emirates.
Team Melli against the Samurai Blue. Yeah.
Am I the only person? I've got to be careful how I word this. Am I the only person who saw that Qatar beat South Korea and thought,
Not in the UAE.
They've got the World Cup coming up.
Not in the UAE.
Qatar beat
massive
South
rival.
Korea.
They hate each other.
It stood out as a result.
Listen
to
what
I'm
saying.
Yeah. It stood out
Qatar
as a result.
Qatar beat South Korea.
Yes.
Qatar are about to host the World Cup.
Yes.
I wonder whether...
Okay, and listen to me. The UAE and Qatar don't get on at all. And so the host nation is the UAE. So I think it's unlikely, and we'll leave it
Well, that
there.
Assumes that the host nation have got anything to do with it, which I haven't. I'm talking about FIFA here. I'm talking about the corridors of power here, not the host nations of power.
Yeah,
the corridors of power. Congratulations to Qatar on an entirely legitimate result. I didn't mean to bring it up. I shouldn't have said anything. Good for them. Good for Spurs fans, because Son's come back. Good for the Premier League. He's an exciting player.
Well, South Korea are out, surprisingly. Son will be coming home earlier than expected. In fact, he's already home, I believe, but he did say after the match he felt absolutely exhausted and completely drained, so it might be a week or two before returning to action.
Exhausted. Well, you're not doing national service because you did so well.
Maybe they'll make him do it because they did so badly this time.
Yeah. It's back on the table, Son.
Rescinded. Boarding pass, get on the plane. Dude, come with me, sir. Yeah. Is that a military uniform? Yes, it is.
DMZ for you, sunshine.
Get building that bridge.
Oh, dear. So there we are, ladies and gentlemen. We've all made it again to the end of another football round, but we can't thank you enough.
It's a miracle.
Yes.
We'd have a go.
Indeed, yeah. But the fourth round was brilliant. We thoroughly enjoyed it. We look forward to the fifth round as well.
And the fourth round replays, Marcus.
Yeah, exactly. Say goodbye, Luke Moore.
Goodbye.
Goodbye, Pete Dalton.
He'll be back to score another one, Luke. Late doors. Bye.
And say goodbye, Jim Campbell.
See ya.
Bye from me.
Was a Radio Stakhanov production.
Make your points during the show, not when you're saying goodbye.
Bye-bye.
Even on a budget, quality is non-negotiable. That's why Quince is the place to score high-end essentials at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Get your hands on buttery soft cashmere sweaters from just $60, Italian leather jackets, and so much more. And the best part about Quince, they exclusively partner with factories committed to safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Elevate your style without the elevated price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns.